servants in the field of law enforcement. He is a former FBI agent and criminal profiler, most noted for the Unabomber case. James R. Fitzgerald joins us to discuss details about the capture of the escaped killer Cavalcante and the process of how it is that in going through a 30-square-mile area, how you go about trying to find a guy like this. James Fitzgerald was involved in the Unabomber case. He has years of experience. He's also the author of a 3-book memoir series called A Journey to the Center of the Mind. And he does a true crime podcast called Cold Red. James Fitzgerald, it's a pleasure to welcome you back. Were you surprised that catching this murderer took as long as it did, a full 2 weeks?
Well, hi, Michael, and first of all, it's always good to be back on your show with your audience. Yeah, these cases are tough, especially if you're in a wooded area. I worked a few escapee cases over my 31-year career, but I also worked other cases like the Atlanta bomber, Eric Rudolph. Now, he wasn't a prison escapee, but he was identified after the Birmingham, Alabama abortion clinic bombing, which a police officer was killed, a nurse severely injured. And he went into the woods, his own neck of the woods, back in western North Carolina. And I made 3 separate trips to that region as a profiler, helping our SWAT teams, our hostage rescue teams, go into those thick and dense woods in an attempt to locate him. And, of course, at the same time, we're talking to his family members, his friends. I'm helping them strategize these interviews. So, and that took 5 years. And actually, it was a rookie police officer who eventually captured Rudolph dumpster diving behind some, you know, fast food restaurant at 4 in the morning. So these cases, the one in New York State a few years ago took about, I think that was 3 weeks to capture those 2 guys. One was killed on the spot. One captured a couple days later, Dannemora, I believe, New York area. There was an escape in Alabama about 2 years ago where a convicted murderer actually got friendly with the assistant warden, and she actually helped him break out. They made it all the way to Indiana. I forget exactly how far, but 1,000 miles or so. So it depends what kind of inside help you have. It depends what kind of outside help you have. It seemed like this guy didn't have inside help from the prison, except for the guard who was on his phone in the tower when the guy got out. But that was, you know, not necessarily planned. So he knew the woods a little bit. He knew how to get around. And if you're willing to sleep in sewer pipes and trenches and live in the mud and the dirt, you may get by for a few weeks. But law enforcement, to their credit, stuck with it, did everything right. And after just about 2 weeks, he's under arrest.
And one of the things that there were suggestions about in the news coverage of this is that there may be evidence that he had some assistance in this, that there was somebody involved with enabling his escape and his fugitive status. Have you heard anything about that?
Michael, only what I've read in the media, and of course that's going to be looked into. I believe his sister was identified, and whether they could prove she enabled him or assisted him or not, it sounds like she's in the process of being deported back to Brazil. So it didn't work too well for his sister there. And, of course, they're going to look into other people, and they can get some kind of aiding and abetting charge or obstruction of justice, something like that. They will do that. Of course, they're checking phone records, and they're looking at all kinds of social media contacts. I'm not sure this guy ever had access to a cell phone. I know he stole a .22 rifle off someone who actually took a shot at him. Everything could have ended right there if the man hit him, but, you know, it didn't work out that way. But it was only about a day or so later, based on that information from that resident who took the shot, that, in fact, he was apprehended. So the investigation is ongoing here, probably within the prison, even other inmates who may have helped out in some ways, but certainly with people he may have known. And if probable cause exists to charge them, I have no doubt they will be charged.
Well, I know you cover this intensely on your podcast, Cold Red, but I do understand that some of the most up-to-date technology played a major role in this successful apprehension. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I'm always a little hesitant to give too much information out in a sort of an ongoing real-time manhunt as this, but I was pretty sure they were going to be using aircraft with heat-seeking, apparatus on them that they can, use that sort of technology to look for basically body heat. And even though it's relatively warm now in the southeastern Pennsylvania area, which, by the way, is my hometown, and I had a number of family and friends reaching out to me over the last few weeks. Hey, Fitz, how do I best protect myself? And what do I do if I see this guy? And of course, I said, lock your doors, call the police, keep your eye on your kids at least. But yeah, we were pretty sure they've been using this type of aircraft. If there was a cell phone, they can link to this guy. There's all kinds of ways of doing triangulation. And if they can work with the phone company in real time, you can almost have like 100-foot by 100-foot, area in which you could actually put the phone at that given time. And these aren't really secrets to the general public, but in case this guy was listening to Cold Red, we don't want to give him too much information, although it's pretty difficult to hide your body heat, even in temperatures that are only in the 60s or so. But if he's at 98.6, like most of us are, these heat signature technology, even from aircraft a few thousand feet in the air, can in fact pick up on that. I was also impressed, real quick, speaking of aircraft, I was wondering if they would reach out to any family members besides the sister who's in the process of being deported, and apparently she didn't want to cooperate, but they found his mother in Brazil and through the police there, and they obviously got a recorded plea from her, I'm sure in Portuguese, to her son, and they flew a helicopter around the area where they last suspected him, I'm sure the house where he broke in and got the rifle, and they were actually playing her statements to her son to please turn yourself in, don't hurt anyone else, you won't be hurt. And I'm not sure that worked or not. He didn't turn himself in. And even when the police showed up this morning, it looks like he still tried to run, and that's when the dog eventually got him. But
question I was going to ask you about. With any of your apprehensions, did you use canines? Did you use canine resources?
Yeah, and that's what I was about to say, that, we have up-to-date 21st century technology and some of the things the police were using, but we also had, age-old technology, if you will, with the use of a dog. Yeah, my very first arrest as a police officer, I even made headlines the next day, way back in 1976, we were going through a department store where some guys broke in, and they weren't coming out, they were hiding somewhere, we set the dog on them, all of a sudden they run out with their hands up, and say, call the dog back. Call the dog back. And I wasn't a canine officer. One of the senior officers was. And I learned then the value of these dogs. And, of course, there's cadaver dogs. There are drug-sniffing dogs. There are sort of fugitive hunting dogs. I have no doubt they took his bed sheets and any sort of clothing they may have had from him and made sure the dog could sniff that, over the last few weeks. And they would put these dogs in the area, and they would try to lead the officers around. And eventually it all paid off.
Last quick question, Fitz. What kind of breed of dogs do they use most often?
It's usually been German Shepherds, but I believe some other breeds are being used and trained now. And the training they go through these dogs is amazing. And even the cadaver dogs, real quick, they have
Yeah, it is amazing that even that age-old technology, as you put it, has developed modern complexities. James Fitzgerald, thanks for your background and perspective. We'll be right back.